March 3, 1927. The creature in whom the divine will reigns calls God to operate together with her, and gives him the glory of that very happiness with which he invested the human acts. The offering of one's actions to God purifies them and disinfects them. I was offering my little acts as homage of adoration and of love to the supreme volition, and I thought to myself, but, is it really true that whatever the soul who does the divine will does, God himself does? What glory can he receive after I have offered to him my little work and everything I may do from coming to do it together with me? And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, don't you feel me within you, as I follow your acts? Indeed, wherever my will reigns, all things, even the most little and natural, convert into delight for me and for the creature, because they are the effect of a divine will reigning in her, that cannot issue from itself even a shadow of unhappiness. Even more, you must know that, in creation, our supreme fiat established all the human acts, investing them with delight, with joy and with happiness. So, work itself was to be of no burden for man, nor give him a shadow of tiredness, because, by possessing my will, he possessed the strength that never tires and never fails. See, created things also are symbol of this. Does the sun perhaps tire of always giving its light? Certainly not. Does the sea tire of murmuring continuously, of forming its waves, of nourishing and multiplying its fish? Certainly not. Do the heavens tire of remaining always stretched out, or the earth of flowering? Certainly not. But why do they not get tired? Because in them there is the power of the divine fiat, that has the strength that is never exhausted. Therefore, all the human acts enter the order of all created things, and all of them receive the mark of happiness, the work, the food, the sleep, the word, the gaze, the step, everything. Now, as long as man remained in our will, he remained holy and healthy, full of vigor and of untiring strength, capable of enjoying the happiness of his acts, and of delighting he who gave him so much happiness. As soon as he withdrew from it, he fell ill and lost the happiness, the untiring strength, the capacity and the taste to enjoy the happiness of his acts, that the divine will had invested with so much love. This happens also between one who is healthy and one who is sick. The first enjoys the food, works with more energy, takes pleasure in amusing himself, in strolling around, in chatting. The one who is sick feels disgust for food, feels no strength to work, is bored by amusements, chatting bothers him, everything is bad for him. The sickness has changed his nature, his acts, into pains. Now, suppose that the sick person returned to the vigor of his health, his strengths, his taste, everything would be restored in him. So, going out of my will has been the cause of his illness. Returning into it and letting it reign will be the cause of the return of the order of happiness into the human acts, and of letting it take its attitude in the acts of the creature. And as she offers her work, the food she takes, and everything she does, from within those human acts is unleashed the happiness that was placed in those acts by my will, and it rises to her Creator to give him the glory of his own happiness. This is why the creature in whom my will reigns not only calls me to operate together with her, but gives me the honor, the glory of that very happiness with which we invested the human acts. And even if the creature should not possess all the fullness of the unity of the light of my will, as long as she offers her acts to her Creator as homage and adoration, since she is the one who is sick, not God, God receives the glory of the happiness of her human acts. Imagine a sick person who did some work or took a food of his and gave it to someone who is healthy. The one who enjoys the fullness of health perceives nothing, neither the tiredness of that work, nor the hardship that the sick person experienced in doing it, nor the disgust for that food that the sick person would have felt, had he taken it. On the contrary, in the fullness of his health, he enjoys the good, the glory and the happiness that that work will bring to him, and he enjoys the food that has been offered to him. In the same way, the offering of one's actions purifies, disinfects, the human actions, and God receives the glory due to him, and, in return, he makes new graces descend upon she who offers her actions to him.